My sermon today is dealing with the Abrahamic covenant, what it is. What is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two parties. There are two basic types of covenants, conditional and unconditional. A conditional or bilateral covenant is an agreement that is binding on both parties for its fulfillment. Both parties agree to fulfill certain conditions. If either party fails to meet their responsibilities, the covenant is broken and neither party has to fulfill the expectations of the covenant. An unconditional or unilateral covenant is an agreement between two parties, but only one of the two parties has to do something. Nothing is required of the other party. The Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant. The actual covenant is found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The ceremony recorded in Genesis 15 indicates the unconditional nature of the covenant. When a covenant was dependent upon both parties keeping commitments, then both parties would pass between the pieces of animals. In Genesis 15, God alone moves between the halves of the animal. Abraham was in a deep sleep. God's solitary action indicates that the covenant is principally his promise. He binds himself to the covenant. God determined to call out a special people for himself, and through that special people, he would bless the whole world. The Lord tells Abram, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Based on this promise, God later changed Abram's name from Abram, High Father, to Abraham, Father of a Multitude, in Genesis 17:5. As we have seen, the Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. It should also be taken literally. There is no need to spiritualize the promise to Abraham. God's promises to Abraham's descendants will be fulfilled literally. Little by little throughout Scripture, God gently and gradually unveils his gracious character and his eternal attributes, first to one person and then to another. To David, God proved himself to be his shepherd. To Hagar, God was revealed as the all-seeing one. He became a banner and standard to the wandering Israelites in the wilderness. And to the frightened Gideon, he became Shalom, the Lord is my peace. There was one occasion when the Lord revealed himself to Abraham as his provider. But in this unique and touching episode, God disclosed himself to the aging Abraham as Almighty God, El Shaddai. El adequately speaks of God's tremendous work of creation and the mighty power he displayed during the great deluge of Noah's day. It speaks coherently of his majesty, strength, greatness, and power, as further exhibited in the tremendous plagues that ravaged Egypt's fertile plain. And yet the name El Shaddai identifies our Heavenly Father as the all-sufficient God, the God who was totally adequate to provide all we need according to his riches and mercy. Insufficient emphasis has been placed on the meaning of the nourishing nature of the word Shaddai in this astonishing revelation of God. While the word El signifies the strength and power of the great creator, Elohim, the word Shaddai additionally speaks of tender nourishment, gentle reassurance, and the provision of strength that a tiny babe derives from the comforting breast of his mother. Abraham had been promised the seed through whom all the families of the earth were to be blessed. His advancing age appeared to contradict God's former word. It seemed impossible that a 90-year-old Sarah and her 100-year-old husband could parent a child, as God had promised sometime before. Yet in this gracious encounter, God reveals himself to Abraham in a new and wonderful way as God Almighty, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. He gently admonished his doubting child while giving Abraham ample reassurance that his word is true and would be fulfilled in his time. And as it was with Abraham, so it is with all of God's people. The all-sufficiency of God enriches, empowers, and provides for all God's children. The precious promise of God's all-embracing sufficiency is equally relevant today as it was in those dim and distant days when God called a pagan Gentile out of Ur of the Chaldees to leave his land, his wealth, and his relatives and go to the land God promised to show him. The young Abram had obeyed the Lord many years earlier, and his faith was already credited to him as righteousness. But many years later, when that same man of faith was 99 years of age, the Lord appeared to him in a new and special way. Abraham was granted further revelation into the essential nature of the God in whom he had placed his trust so many years before. For there were still lessons for this man of God to learn. There were many truths that had not yet been disclosed to this man of faith. "I am God Almighty," he was told. "I am El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. Walk before me and be blameless." The same Lord nourishes, multiplies, and makes abundantly fruitful the seed of faith that is planted in the heart of each of his children. And in the same way that he overshadowed and stirred the womb of the elderly Sarah and empowered old Abraham to father this child, so God is able and willing to work his all-sufficient grace in the lives of each of his children. If God had placed a seed in your heart, never doubt that he is all-sufficient to carry it through to its final delivery. For he who started a good work in you has promised to bring it to completion by transforming you into the likeness of the indwelling seed, the lovely Lord Jesus, in whom we trust. I would like to finish with a prayer. Loving Father, we recognize your almighty power and great glory, for the heavens declare its truth, and Christ proved it with outstretched arms on Calvary's cross. But you are also our great provider, for which we thank you. Your gracious provision is all sufficient, and we long to serve you faithfully and to live a blameless life before you. Lord, we know that living blamelessly before you is only possible as you provide the sufficient grace and power through the Holy Spirit's work within. Bring to fruitfulness the seed that you have planted in our hearts, that we may live as you desire. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.